This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Sun Live Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. You just heard the Patriots fall to the New York Giants 6-3 in their final preseason tune-up. Not a lot of offense in this one. Not a lot of star power in this thing, as Bill Belichick elected to rest most of his starters in this one, though there was one notable return on the Patriots offensive line, which we'll get to momentarily. Doesn't mean we didn't learn anything about this roster tonight. I thought the defense, again, was excellent. And by the way, you were going against the Giants starters for four drives in that first half. Eli Manning was out there, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and three out of the four drives, the Patriots forced three and outs. And I think some young players on the defensive line, really players all along the defensive line in general, stood out. It was a good night for that group and a good night for a number of young players fighting for spots on the roster. You're going to cut this thing down in just a few days to the 53-man roster. And guess what? I think there are some young players who helped themselves out. Who do you think helped themselves the most? You can weigh in here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Before we get to your feedback, let's kick things off as we do each and every postgame show with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
I think the clear standout performer in this game tonight was Jermaine Cunningham. And look, he was someone who flashed earlier this preseason. Remember, against the Philadelphia Eagles, he's the guy who knocked out Michael Vick. But tonight, two sacks from Jermaine Cunningham, the first of which I thought was the most impressive, split two offensive linemen and got into the quarterback on the second drive of the game, bringing down Eli Manning. And he also wrapped up on a Trevor Scott pressure, who also played well, by the way, on the last drive of the first half. So those are the two sacks for Cunningham. He also drew an additional holding penalty on one of the Giants' offensive linemen. I thought he was the clear guy who stood out tonight in this game. I think he was already on the roster, but I think he was the clear standout tonight. I also thought the young safeties played very well in this one. Tavon Wilson had a huge hit on Martellus Bennett down the seam, knocked the ball free, and maybe Bennett should have caught it, but big hit by Wilson. Nate Ebner continues to be around the ball, had a pass breakup on an Eli throw, and maybe could have come down with it, and then also drew a block in the back penalty on a punt return. So both young safeties, I thought, flashed in this game tonight. Also on my good list, Sebastian Vollmer. Played only 10 snaps, 2-plus drives, roughly. But he was back. He's your starting right tackle. And you know what that means? No more Marcus Cannon, hopefully, who had looked woefully out of position throughout the preseason and had been on the bad list in each and every one of the first three preseason games thus far. So I thought just getting Vollmer back on the offensive line was excellent. Not a good night for the O-line in general, again, but getting Vollmer back, I also thought was good for the Patriots. And even though he played a limited role, I thought that was big. On the bad list tonight, real missed opportunity, I thought, for Ryan Mallett. 8 of 15, 40 yards. His worst throw should have been a pick. He was looking for Bolden, and it was broken up by Williams, but that thing could have gone the other way for a pick six if the D-back holds on to it. And we talked at length on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show last week, or at least speculated that maybe this is the backup quarterback. Like, maybe you're looking at the heir apparent to Tom Brady, like, this season if he goes down. And I thought he took a significant step in the wrong direction. Not that Hoyer was much better, by the way. And that pick on the last drive to end the game was abysmal by Brian Hoyer. But I put some of that on the receiver stopping running his route. Jesse Holly just flat out stopped running. So I don't put that throw entirely on Brian Hoyer, and he had a couple of good ones right before that. I think Mallett was noticeably bad. I think he's your third quarterback. Also, Weems, the offensive lineman, is on the bad list tonight. This is harsh. He's probably wasn't going to make the roster anyway, but he allowed the strip sack on Hoyer that gave the Giants the win. You can't avoid the bad list, even if you're someone who we don't expect to make the roster, when you have a completely game-changing play in a bad way. So he's on the list as well. Yeah, exactly, Kevin. Also, and these guys were the standout bad performers tonight, replacement officials. Oh my goodness. On the day that the league sends out a memo to all of their teams that, yeah, there's going to be replacement officials week one. And I saw stories like this from Jason Cole, Yahoo Sports, for instance. Oh, the NFL's not going to miss a beat with these replacement officials. Really? I give you tonight as exhibit A of what type of problems can arise with the replacement officials. And basically what happened in the first quarter, official comes out, initially said there were offsetting penalties, had to huddle up and talk things over. Turns out both penalties were on the Giants, and it was a 5, 6, 7 minute delay. Both coaches were ticked. The referee kept getting on and off the microphone. He was being booed by the fans tonight. Also, at the end of the third quarter, he said it was the end of the first quarter. You know, not a huge thing. Could happen with any official. But you know what? Part of the narrative has been how out of touch these guys have been and just how in over their heads they are. This was an example of that tonight. They were awful.
Tony Brown.
Personal foul. 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That's Hockley? Is that who that is, Collins? Who is that?
It's actually a college official. I think it's like Jerry something.
Really? And they're giving him the business. Yeah. You know, at least,
never heard that call
at least
before.
That's an official who's supposed to be doing his job, you know, or is qualified for his job, rather. These guys tonight were just in over their heads. It was bad. So they're on the bad list as well. And you know what I'm talking about if you watched it. Let's get on to the injured guys. It was only Nico Kudavitis for most of the game. Returned to the sideline. Maybe a wrist injury is what's being speculated on. But the big one was right at the tail end, and I don't even know if you were still sticking around at this point. But Jeff Demps leaves the game with a leg injury, perhaps a knee injury is what it looked like to me. And that's unfortunate because Demps made his presence felt again. It is obvious how explosive he is in space. Punt returns, catching the football. It's beyond obvious how athletic and how difficult he is to bring down in open space. But if he's hurt, and who knows the extent of the thing, but he had to leave the game and didn't return. Granted, it was late, but that's a disheartening injury for Patriots fans, because I think we've all been looking at him these last two post games, and you've seen flashes. It's apparent why teams would want him as a kick returner, punt returner, and the Patriots can even utilize him as a back. Explosive. So that's something that bears watching here with the Patriots. That could be a significant blow, injury-wise, if it's serious to Jeff Demps. And we'll keep you up to speed here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show if any information crosses the wire on Jeff Demps. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Coming up on the post-game show, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick as we go to the podium to get his thoughts on the final preseason tune-up for the Patriots leading up to their opener September 9th in Tennessee. Hopefully you'll also hear from one of the quarterbacks at the podium. You're not going to hear from Tom Brady. He didn't play in this thing tonight. So maybe you hear from Mallett. Maybe you hear from Hoyer. But hopefully we'll go to the podium and hear from one of those guys. And we're also hoping to get a player from the Patriots locker room here momentarily as they fall to the Giants 6-3 in their final preseason game. Patriots do finish the preseason at 1-3. And I'll tell you look at things tonight, and maybe it's a product of not having a lot of starters out on the field. You know, maybe it's the product of it just being the final preseason game, whatever it is, but defenses ruled the day in this one, which was apparent in this game as the Giants hang on to beat the Patriots at the tail end 6-3. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get to your feedback here momentarily, but first, want to go out to the Ace Ticket Hotline and welcome in my view, the star of the night, Jermaine Cunningham. Couple of sacks, also drew a holding penalty against the Giants tonight. And first of all, Jermaine, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, no problem.
How'd it feel out there to get in the backfield and tally a couple of sacks in this one?
I mean, it felt good. You know, anytime you get a chance to go out on the football field between the white lines and showcase your talent, so it was a bliss.
At what point during the week did you have a pretty good feeling that you were going to have an extended run out there, you know, really as a quote-unquote starter in this one?
Tell you the truth, that's my mentality every week. So how much snaps it is, I just go out there preparing like I'm playing 60 minutes.
What went into your off season this year, and what's gone into, you know, maybe the impact that you've made thus far this preseason?
I'm just hard work, dedication.
Jermaine Cunningham, Patriots defensive end, joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Jermaine, wasn't just you playing well in this preseason game tonight along the defensive line. Trevor Scott also played well. Same thing with Justin Francis, who had a sack in this one. What'd you think of the defensive line's performance overall tonight?
It just goes to show our preparation, you know, how hard we go in practice. It plays out during game time.
I know you were preparing for the game here tonight and getting ready during some of the pregame warmups, but did you get a chance to see Tom Brady's receiving skills down the field? We've been seeing the highlights of it here on the TV packages. He was out there catching some passes before the game.
I was getting ready for the game. Didn't get a chance to see that.
You weren't able to evaluate it. Well, make sure you check out the highlight shows tonight. It'll be mixed in with a couple of your sacks on in the game tonight against the New York Giants. Finally, Jermaine, just going back to last season, a season where you didn't see the playing field much. What was your attitude, I guess, going into this off season, coming off last year?
That was last year. You know, I kind of went into this year with just trying to get better. And be prepared for this season, you know, stay healthy and just stay on the field. As long as I'm on the field, you know, I can control what I can do.
Well, he's on the field quite a bit tonight. Again, two sacks and also drew an additional holding penalty. Patriots defensive end Jermaine Cunningham, thanks so much for taking the time here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Jermaine Cunningham joining us here. And again, I said this, and I didn't know we'd be getting him here on the postgame show, but I thought he was the obvious, beyond obvious standout performer in this one tonight. And the D-line played well. Trevor Scott, Justin Francis. You know, Scott, we already talked about this, but, you know, Trevor Scott really led to the second sack for Jermaine Cunningham. You know, the first one was all Cunningham. Split the two offensive linemen, got right to Eli. The second one, it was Scott flushing David Carr out of the pocket, and Jermaine Cunningham was kind of in there, had the waiting arms ready, I guess, for David Carr. But Scott had a sack and a couple of pressures. Justin Francis, two pressures and a sack. You know, even Jake Beckett drew a holding penalty late in the game. So I thought the D linemen and some guys with something to prove, by the way, on the roster bubble, if you want to call them that, Justin Francis and Trevor Scott, I think may even be fighting one another for a roster spot. And I thought they both played excellent in this thing tonight, along with Jermaine Cunningham. Let's get to some of the phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's kick things off with Olivier in Virginia. What's going on, Olivier?
Adam, how are you today?
Doing excellent, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I just finished watching the game and so forth, and I'm fairly happy with the performance of our defense. And but, you know, the offense, I saw Mallett. You know, Mallett did a so-so job, but Hoyer was horrible. I'm not sure if he was horrible because he only had a few snaps, but I don't understand why he threw in, you know, this last interception. I thought we were going to go for tying the game, or maybe, you know, I'm not sure if Belichick wanted to continue playing. Maybe he said, let's just get it over with and move on to tomorrow. But what are your thoughts?
Well, on the two quarterbacks, and Olivier, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I really didn't think Hoyer looked as bad as he has previously this preseason. That last interception was awful. I don't know if it's on Hoyer overthrowing the receiver or the receiver, Jesse Holly, just stopping his route. And I think it's more on Holly. But that pick looked terrible. And anytime there's an interception, most people are going to go to the quarterback. I thought that was more on Holly than it was on Hoyer. And I've been critical of Hoyer all preseason, but I thought he was better tonight. Mallett was terrible. And we're getting some emails here. I'm just looking them over. Mike writes in, for instance, webradio@patriots.com. I disagree with your assessment on Ryan Mallett. Look at who he's playing with. Plus, after 10 snaps, he was under consistent pressure. Hoyer throws like he's playing catch at the park, not a quarterback in the pros. Maybe that's true. I just didn't think that Hoyer stood out in the same bad light necessarily that Mallett did tonight. And I thought Mallett, the last two preseason games, was good against the Eagles. I was complimentary. And I don't think the numbers necessarily jumped off the page, but I was complimentary after the Eagles game towards Ryan Mallett. And I was last week as well. He only came in at the end of the game and it was garbage time, but I thought he looked good. So for me, I've been trying to call it as I see it with some of these young quarterbacks. And, you know, I look at it and I just thought that tonight Hoyer was better than Mallett. That was my assessment. And maybe I'll go back and rewatch it and I'll see it differently. But I thought Hoyer was all right. And the interception was bad, but I'm putting that more on the receiver. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. By the way, just to respond to the point about who he's playing with, I mean, you're right. He's not exactly playing with top-notch guys out there tonight. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's why Mallett has looked good when he's played with starters before. I think it's a good point. That said, I thought Hoyer looked better, and he's playing with roughly the same guys, if not a worse cast of characters, at the end of the game. Mike also wrote in a separate email, by the way, on Vasante Schenko. What's the deal with the Schenko signing? Hasn't been in camp, not going to make the team. What's the point? And why do you sign with us over other options? Well, he's got $400,000 guaranteed. And I think the Patriots were looking at him as maybe a little insurance for Daniel Fells, who, by the way, started tonight. That's my sense. That's my guess. A little insurance there, came in and was nicked up in camp. So are the Patriots going to stick him on IR if he's that injured? And we don't know the extent of the situation, but if he's that injured, are they going to stick him on IR? I don't know. I mean, you're going to be paying him either way, so I'm sure from the Patriots' perspective, they want to do it. But if Schenko's not going to miss the season, he's not going to want to go on IR. So you'd think the Patriots are going to cut him. I have a hard time imagining they carry four tight ends. You know, to me, I can't see it, and I understand the logic that, well, you have two tight ends and two wide receivers for the most part. If you're going to carry five or six wide receivers, why wouldn't you want to have depth at tight end as well? I understand the logic. I just don't think the Patriots would do it. I just don't see the Patriots doing that. And maybe that's an old-fashioned opinion of mine, you know, or maybe it's realistic that they'll carry four. I don't see it, and I don't see him beating out Daniel Fells at this point. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. His chance to beat him out was if Fells started on PUP and he was healthy, but that just has not even been close to the case. One other guy, by the way, who I thought helped himself a ton, and this comes a week after Marquise Cole played excellent, and Cole wasn't on the field tonight. And I guess I don't know what to read into that. My main takeaway would be, well, he didn't play, so the Patriots may feel that he has a spot locked up. And the fact that Sterling Moore and Rozai Dowling are out there tonight, maybe they have a little bit more to prove to the coaching staff. I don't think Dowling will be cut. That, to me, would be a major turnaround after making him the first pick of the second round. And I was high on Sterling Moore, but he had issues again tonight. You know, and he showed up on my bad list a few different times this preseason. Sterling Moore, on a third down, gave up a 15-yard conversion to Victor Cruz on the second drive of the game. He also had a penalty defensively at the end of the game. I can't remember if it was an illegal contact or if it was pass interference, but it was something of that nature late in the game. So who knows? You know, maybe we were looking at it all wrong. Instead of Cole and Dennard fighting for a spot, you know, maybe it's Dennard and Moore or something like that. I thought Dennard played great tonight. Forced the fumble, had a pass breakup, showed in coverage a few other times where he was just blanketing a receiver. I thought he played great tonight. Now, consider who he's going against, but I thought he helped his cause in this thing tonight. Not saying he locked up a roster spot, but I'm saying I thought he helped his cause. And if Marquise Cole was out there on the field tonight, we could evaluate it and compare it to something else. And maybe I'm reading too much into the fact that he wasn't there. You know, I forget who tweeted this. I think it was Bedard. But I tend to agree with it. If you're not playing in the final preseason game, that's probably a good sign for you. You know, that probably means that you're on the good side of the roster bubble. For instance, Danny Woodhead didn't play. Another guy who some view as potentially on the roster bubble, but he's probably on the right side of it. You know, is it the same thing with Marquise Cole, or am I reading too much into it? I'm not sure, but I thought Dennard, who some have on the roster, some don't, I thought he helped himself a ton tonight. That forced fumble was just an excellent textbook, you know, technical play. You know, he had the right technique, and he swatted the ball out. Patriots couldn't recover it, which was unfortunate. That was a great individual effort and individual play by Alphonso Dennard. And he also had the pass breakup and blanketed receivers. So to me, I thought he helped his cause quite a bit tonight as well. We'll get to your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll continue with your emails as well. Webradio@patriots.com. It's the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. You've already heard from Patriots defensive end Jermaine Cunningham here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Coming up next, we head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. That's next on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard cash rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now, get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646. Requires new two-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
Shotgun formation for Manning. Running back to his right. Snap to Manning and back to throw. Looking to the left. Now being chased. Going to be hit and sacked way back at the Giants' 30-yard line. My heavens.
Yeah, they got away with the holding call there, too.
That was Jermaine Cunningham. Third and 22. Carr in the shotgun takes the snap back to throw. Here's the rush. Gets rid of the football, and it is incomplete.
Guess who?
He got sacked again by Jermaine Cunningham, and Carr is slow getting up.
Big night for Jermaine Cunningham, Patriots defensive end, who joined us earlier tonight on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. The calls courtesy of Gil Santos and the Patriots Radio Network. You can get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. You'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick momentarily. His thoughts on a 6-3 loss to the New York Giants, where his starters didn't play much aside from Sebastian Vollmer. But I thought there was a lot you could take away from this thing. When you're talking about bottom of the roster, you know, call it 40 through 53, figuring things out, maybe even getting a look at some guys for the practice squad, I thought there were takeaways in this thing. Wasn't sexy. It was ugly football at times. But guys like Dennard helped themselves tonight. Jermaine Cunningham, who I already think was on the roster, obviously made a case for himself to, if nothing else, you know, get in the coach's good graces a little bit. Justin Francis, a sack and a couple of pressures. Trevor Scott, a sack and a couple of pressures. You know, they might be fighting against each other for a roster spot. And I think everyone helped themselves tonight. So these are the things you look at. And I thought there were some significant takeaways tonight. So again, give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Most of them are coming in on the quarterback situation. Mallett and Hoyer, but let's start with one outside of the quarterback situation. Nigel writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, the biggest gaffe by the refs in this game came when the Patriots made a stop on third down, drew a holding call, and the ref didn't automatically decline the penalty on behalf of the Patriots. Just lacking in football sense. They were an abortion tonight. It was as bad as you're going to see. The crowd was all over the official tonight. Don King, I actually think his name was, if I remember. Just all over him. And he deserved it. It just goes to show, you know, the fact that the NFL is being too cheap in this situation to pay the refs is embarrassing the league. And something like that's going to happen week one. You know, maybe it won't be the Wednesday game, you know, the season kickoff. And I'm sure Roger Goodell and company have their fingers crossed that it won't be that game. But it's going to happen sooner or later. And it's going to happen week one. And the league's going to be embarrassed. It was an embarrassing thing tonight. And hopefully they get that thing sorted out. Nigel also continues, game for you. Cut one, keep one of the following. I'm not saying that these players are going to get cut. Please hear me before we start playing. But if I have to choose one or the other, that's sort of how I'm looking at it. If you could only have one or the other, who would you cut? Who would you keep? Nigel asks, Hoyer or Mallett? Despite his performance tonight, I would keep Ryan Mallett. Higher upside, and I you just control him longer. So I would keep Mallett in that scenario, though again, I don't expect Hoyer to be cut. Cunningham versus Scott. Similarly, even before his performance tonight, I would have kept Cunningham. Both played well. I think Cunningham's the guy. Bolden versus Demps. Demps is on the team, and I think Bolden will get cut. Now, he's an interesting guy, by the way. And I guess, barring an injury situation, again, Demps was dinged up in this thing, left with what looked like a knee injury very, very late, and played extremely well before that. Three punt returns, 31 yards. Check that. That was his receiving. Excuse me. 31 yards, including a long gain of 23. And his punt returns tonight, 4 for 49. Just looks slippery back there. Returned the opening kickoff for 19 yards. Didn't run it excellent tonight, 6 for 15. But I thought he showed his explosion. Bolden, to me, I've gone back and forth on a little bit. Tonight, he ran as well as he has. 15 carries, 59 yards. He had a 15-yard gainer early in the game. He also had a 7-yarder where he cut it back across the offensive line. I actually thought he ran well. That was part of the good package for Bolden tonight. The bad is he muffed another punt, second of the preseason. I don't think he's going to be on the team. So Demps is my pick there. Moore versus Dennard. That's an interesting one. And I was thinking about that towards the tail end of the game. I came into this thinking that Sterling Moore was a lock. And when I say come into this, came into the preseason thinking Sterling Moore was a lock. I'd still take Moore at this point. But remember, you know, he came in either a late round pick or undrafted by way of Oakland. And I thought played pretty well for you last year, but he's been noticeably bad in a couple of these preseason games, including the first one for the Patriots against New Orleans. I thought he showed up in a bad way a couple of times. And Dennard showed up in a good way tonight. And Moore, again, had another penalty tonight, gave up a third down conversion on the second drive to Victor Cruz. I would keep Moore, but that one's close. Silvestro versus Catani. Interesting question. I don't think Catani's here, so I'll go with Silvestro, though I don't think either of them make the roster. And Woodhead or Vereen? I'd go with Vereen, but I can't tell you I'm basing that on much. Like, how much have we seen from Shane Vereen? Really not a ton. So, to me, that's not really basing it on much. I would just hope that as a second-round pick, there's more upside there. Continuing with the emails to webradio at patriots.com. It's where Brian writes in, Adam, second-team defense holding the Giants to under 90 yards in the first half overall. I know they held them to over under 90, at least with the starters. Also, Cunningham was close to having at least two more sacks. And another player who was great today, Mike Rivera, 12 total tackles. Holy cow. I know he had a lot of tackles, and I noticed that on the stat sheet. I didn't think he played exceptionally well in this thing tonight. I just think he was around the ball, and I think tackle statistics can be a little misleading. So he piled up a ton of sacks. So did Nico Kudavitis. And, you know, I guess he didn't hurt himself tonight putting up that type of number, 12 tackles. But, you know, I don't think he's on the roster. You know, Kudavitis, 8 tackles in this one as well. I'm not sure either of them are on the roster. Let's do one more email before we head to the podium with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Brian writes in, Adam, I'm here for at least an hour on the postgame show, so this better be good. I appreciate you taking the time here, Brian. Defense definitely looked great tonight. Ebner again looked great. Cunningham looked beastly. Love some of Demps' work, though his slip when he was almost in the clear field wasn't decent. And he's right. I forgot about that play. There was a play where Demps was breaking away and just slipped. I believe it was on that long catch, the 23-yarder. Dennard looked great. Wilson looked great. But I'd have to say Cunningham definitely made the case to be a starter. Also, that Holly catch was absolutely spectacular. And I'm kind of disappointed Belichick didn't call the challenge in time. I haven't even mentioned the Holly catch. It was ridiculous. Down the sideline. By the way, good throw by Hoyer. Maybe a little too far to the sideline, but you'd have to look at it again. You know, did Holly not give him a lot of room? That was a good throw by Hoyer, by the way. For everyone saying he just dinks and dunks his way down the field, I thought that was a strong throw down the field to the sideline. The catch was ridiculous. I disagree that they would have won that challenge, though. And I know Randy Cross was making a case for it on the television broadcast. I don't think they would have won that challenge. He said the second foot was in. I saw nothing that would have overturned that. But ridiculous display of athleticism by Jesse Holly. On the bad side, writes Brian, offense still doesn't appear to be able to put much together. I know it was a second unit, but still, they couldn't even manage a single touchdown. Their drives weren't great, and well, I just wasn't impressed, except for the Holly catch. But to pile on here, Ryan Mallett, you know, played the first half, had seven drives. Five were three and outs. Check that. Four were three and outs. He also had a 7-play, 29-yard drive and an 8-play, 31-yard drive that resulted in punts. And a 12-play, 51-yard drive that got Gostkowski a 20-yard field goal but was extended by a 15-yard penalty against the Giants. I thought the offense tonight was bad in general, and I had Mallett on my bad list. Not everyone's agreed with that, but I thought he was poor in this thing tonight. 8 of 15 for 40 yards. I was not impressed by Ryan Mallett tonight. However, on balance, I think he's outplayed Hoyer this preseason.
It's tough to impress you, Jones.
Right? You know, I think these guys get a little nervous, Kevin, because they know they're like, I don't want to be on the bad.
No.
In the good, the bad,
it's like
and the
every
injury.
Time I step in the booth with you, I get my palms
and
get
it's
a little
like,
sweaty.
It's like I should have told Jermaine when he came on, Jermaine Cunningham, when he joined us during the first segment here. I should have told him. I was like, Jermaine, congratulations on being the top good performer on the good, the bad, and the injured. I think that would have made
his
night.
He'll sleep well knowing
he would have been able to go in there
table.
And like nudge Tom Brady and be like, hey, Tom, I was on Adam Jones's good list tonight. I think that's what they do. That's what I picture him doing in the locker room. Brian concludes here, by the way. I really, really hope Demps isn't hurt that badly. And I think he speaks for all Patriots fans when he writes that. It definitely looked like a knee. He got rolled over on by a Giants player and the guy had his weight on his knees. Wasn't good, but it didn't look seriously brutal either. Who knows? It went fast. I agree. My gut on that is it's not serious. Just watching the way he came off the field, you know, he was hobbling, but under his own power. So, if you're asking me, did it look serious? No, but we don't know the extent at this point. Sunlight Patriots postgame show, Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Give us a call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Giants beat the Patriots 6-3. Final preseason game for both sides. Patriots fall to 1-3 this preseason. And earlier tonight, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was at the podium.
Yeah, thought we competed well. Giants competed well. It was a good hard-fought game. And so we got to look at a lot of people.
Is cut-down day always tough for you?
It is. Yep, it's a tough day. Yep. Guys, they work hard, and some of them have been with us, you know, for a decent amount, you know, however long they've been with us, and they've done what we've asked them to do. And it's unfortunately a tough part of the business. You know, we know that we got to beat a 53. Everybody knows that, but it's still hard to, you know, to tell some guys that they're not going to make it after they've, you know, worked so hard.
What is it that you saw out there that you liked? What was the positive thing about this game? Aside from the fact that you walked away without any injuries, which is always good in preseason, right?
Yeah, well, we'll take a look at the film and, you know, see how everybody did. But, you know, we got a chance to play a lot of guys that, you know, played in the Philadelphia game that didn't play as much last week. We'll see how much they improved. And, you know, just try to make our decisions here at the end of the week on our roster, our practice squad, things like that. So we'll see how it all shapes up.
What are your thoughts on the center competition? We saw, I think, four different centers play in the first half.
Yeah, well, we played with four guys last year, and they all showed that they could play at a good level. So we've had good competition there this training camp, this preseason. And, we'll have to make a decision on it.
Do you see any clear-cut number one there right now?
We'll make our decisions here at the end of the week.
How about the number two quarterback between Brian and Ryan? What do you see with that competition?
That's been competitive as well. Yeah, it's been competitive as well. Those guys have gotten pretty much equal opportunities all the way through from the spring into the practices in preseason, in the preseason games other than the Tampa game. You know, we only played one quarterback after Tom in that game, but otherwise it's been about as equal as we could have it. So it's very competitive, it's tight, and we'll see, you know, try to make the best decision we can for the team on that one.
Well, you had to be very happy with how active Jermaine was tonight.
We'll go back and look at the film and see how everybody did. It's hard to watch everybody out there, but we played competitively and did some good things, and I'm sure there's other things that we still need to keep working on, but I think we made some improvement from, again, these are the guys who played mostly in the Philadelphia game, so I think we've made some improvement since that game to this one.
You might have touched on it in terms of your approach of who played and who didn't. How much of that was because of the tight schedule here?
Obviously playing as many games close together, I mean, that had a lot to do with it, but We got, look, everybody that played got an opportunity to show us what they can do, and that was important. The guys that played in the Tampa game got that opportunity. The guys that played in the Philadelphia game, the New Orleans game, the guys that practiced. So, you know, whoever's out there, it's an opportunity for them, and it's an opportunity for us to evaluate them and also evaluate our team in those areas. So, you know, nothing wrong with that.
Sort of turn the page to Tennessee. I mean, is it too early to talk about what you see from them? As you prepare?
Yeah, I think right now we're just trying to, you know, finish up our take care of the Patriots right now. And we know we have a lot of tough opponents, and we know Tennessee will be tough on opening day. But, you know, right now we just need to do what's best for the New England Patriots. That's where our focus is.
Bill, what's the next 48 hours going to be like for you and the staff? I mean, how compressed is that decision-making, that whole process?
Well, I mean, we've known it's coming. It's not like it was sprung on us. So, you know, we've talked about this along the way. But now we'll have to make the final decisions to get all the information that we have, whether it be, you know, performance, injuries, and whatever other opportunities there are in the league. You know, there's always a lot of player movement at this time of year. So who knows how that'll will or won't affect our roster. I don't really know, but, you know, we'll take all those things in consideration and make the decisions that are best for our football team. And that's, you know, that's a process we always go through. So that's, you know, won't be any different.
Is there any concern going into the season with replacement referees?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. Good? Okay, great. All right, thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Coach.
Good awkward ending there, per usual, from Bill Belichick at the podium. I like that. No comment on the officials. I think that stands alone. We all know how Bill Belichick and I think Tom Coughlin and other head coaches feel about the replacement officials, especially after that debacle tonight. A couple of things to take away. One, monitoring the Twitter sphere here while Bill Belichick was talking, we do have an update on Jeff Demps. Spoke in the locker room. Medical staff checked him out. Leg area is what he called it, so nothing specific, but looked like a knee injury. Says he's okay in the post-game locker room, for what it's worth, and I'm reading from Mike Reese here. Demps answered two questions from reporters, came in later than most to the locker room, likely after undergoing tests. I would say with a week and a half, it's a good sign for Jeff Demps. Week and a half before your opener, I would say that's a good sign. And certainly, you know, Patriots fans were holding their breath a little bit. That's the type of news you were looking for following Jeff Demps leaving the game. The main takeaway from Belichick, for me, when you're talking about the shakeout for the roster and you're talking about some of his takeaways there, the center competition is interesting. And not that Belichick really pulled back the curtain there, but you go back and you look, Ryan Wendell started the first two drives, right? Copen comes in on the third drive, then he's out. Fourth drive's Dan Connolly, who presumably right now, barring what happens with Brian Waters, is your right guard. Then Daniel Thomas comes in. Donald Thomas comes in. So you're looking at four centers in the first half for the Patriots and four guys getting reps there. And I look at it with Copen coming in after Wendell, not a great sign for Copen making the roster. And maybe it doesn't have to be Copen and another offensive lineman. You know, maybe that's not the debate. Maybe the debate is some of these young guys who you're trying to figure out how you get them on the roster. Justin Francis, right? Alfonso Dennard. These guys, if you're trying to find them a way on the roster, does it make sense for Copen to be on the team instead of some of those young guys, even at a defensive line or a secondary position, to have a backup center if that's what he's going to be? And my takeaway tonight, that's what he is. If Waters is here, Connolly's probably your starting center. If Connolly is at right guard, because Waters isn't here, it looks like Wendell is your starting center. And there's depth there beyond those players. Connolly could slide over in a pinch. Thomas apparently can play it. Nick McDonald, who's dinged up, has played it for you. Did it for two games last year. So do you need Copen around over some of these other young guys? I think that's an important question for Patriots fans to consider. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. It's Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. Let's hit some of these emails. Brian writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, I agree it wasn't a good performance by Mallett, but I couldn't help but feel that Belichick had the offensive playbook as simple as possible. And also, when you're throwing to a number four and number five wide receiver and number three tight end against the starters of the Giants, I think we should sort of cut Mallett some slack. Yes, he had some bad throws, but his surrounding weapons and going up against a really good Giants defense, I feel the need to give him some leeway here. I don't think he went against the Giants starters. You know, maybe I got to go back and look again, but I know that Pierre Paul and Tuck and those guys didn't play. So I don't think he was going against starters. And I don't understand why a simple offensive playbook, that would make Mallett look poor. You know, theoretically, he should stand out in that situation, right? With a vanilla playbook, like that's what he should have mastered by this point, I would hope. So I don't get that. The weapons thing is a legit reason to me. Like, Mallett looked good when he was out there with guys who can play. And he hasn't looked good with guys who can't. So, you know, that I think is a significant criticism of my take on Ryan Mallett, who, again, I thought was poor tonight. I thought Hoyer looked better with arguably a worse cast than what Mallett had tonight. But that's a legitimate criticism. Who's he out there with? And would he be better if he were out there with more talented guys? You know, that to me is a legitimate counterpoint to my point that I was disappointed here in Mallett tonight. Will in Canada writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, going to disagree with you on Mallett. At least three times he made a perfect pass to Holly and the ball was flat out dropped. Mallett also showed some good pocket presence, whereas Hoyer didn't look like he knew where the rush was coming from for the entire night. He has some other points. I want to weigh in on the quarterbacks because he's not the only one, Will, who wrote in about the pocket presence from Mallett. I thought it was poor for both. And they've both been under a lot of pressure. Like the offensive line in general, you know this, has done a terrible job protecting Patriots quarterbacks. Another five sacks tonight. We talked about it earlier tonight on the post-game show. Darian Weems gave up a strip sack that turned the game around. Derek Dennis gave up a terrible sack, you know, where he basically got his quarterback at the time, and I think it was Hoyer, got him annihilated. So the offensive line has been bad for the Patriots this preseason, which isn't helping the quarterbacks tonight, and probably isn't helping their pocket presence, which I thought was poor from both guys. Continuing, on another topic, Sterling Moore doesn't look very good. Cole over Moore, Dennard and Dowling both had their good moments tonight. You know, I looked at Dowling, and my only note on him, and this seems to be consistent for me, I just feel like he doesn't show up either way, which is not a good thing, by the way. I just feel like he doesn't show up either way. The only note I have going through my my drive chart here in my notes, the only thing I wrote down was a catch to open the second half, you know, in front of Rasai Dowling for Ramses Barden. That's it. That's the only thing I wrote down for him. So I just think this is typical of Rasai Dowling. You know, we get emails every game, how'd he look? You can't watch everybody out there, and, you know, I'm not watching him specifically, but from what I see, he's not really flashing either way. I agree. Moore's been bad this preseason, and he's someone I was high on. I thought he was great in the playoffs last year. Specifically, everyone remembers the AFC Championship game where he stripped it away from Lee Evans. So I was high on him, but right now, yeah, I could see Marquise Cole making it over Sterling Moore. I could see Marquise Cole and Alphonso Dennard both making it over Sterling Moore. You know, I'm not saying I'd do that. I would like Moore, given what he showed last season, even though he's had a rough preseason. I would like him on the roster. I would. I wouldn't throw in the towel on someone who looked so promising last year because of a bad preseason. But at the same time, you know, Dennard's someone who fell way down in the draft. And do you think that you could get him back on the roster and sneak him through as easily as you could sneak through someone like Sterling Moore? I think that's a fair question and something to consider. But no, I would not be blown away if Marquise Cole and Alphonso Dennard, given Cole's play last week and Dennard's play tonight, if they made it over Sterling Moore. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. Just not the route that I would go. Great show, and I'm sure more than nine people are listening, writes in Will. The over-under was 9.5, by the way. That was the over-under that was given on the pregame show. I took the under, but that was because we have new software on the website, is what I'm being told. So, I don't know. Seems so far, you know, does Jermaine Cunningham count? Does Jermaine Cunningham count as a listener tonight? Yeah, if Jermaine Cunningham counts, then we're going to go over. We're going to go over that 9.5 number. I feel pretty good about it. Kevin Collins is nodding his head back there. Let's do one more email here on the quarterbacks, because there's been a large number of them. And I think that's one of the places you go when Brady doesn't play. How'd the backups look? You know, how do you feel about the situation behind Brady? I think it's been very up and down this preseason, which is probably what most teams would experience in a preseason. At least it's not been all down. Zach writes in to Web Radio, Patriots.com. While watching these backup quarterbacks stink all preseason, Mallett against Tampa, the exception, I thought maybe it's just the preseason. But then I went back to look at Brady's preseason numbers before he was a starter. And I don't remember the games, but his numbers were never terrible. My conclusion is these guys just aren't good. My counterpoint to that, and by the way, I'd also add that I thought Mallett was good against Philly as well. You know, he started the game. I thought he was good against Philly. He was obviously good at the end of the Tampa game. That was garbage time. My counterpoint to Brady having good numbers in 2000 and 2001, the worst preseason, the worst one by far for Matt Cassel was 2008. People were talking about him getting cut. You know, that was a discussion at the time. Cassel's regressed. You know, he didn't even play quarterback at USC. And he was bad that preseason. But you know what? He came out and won 11 games for you. 11 games. So I don't think you can definitively look at the numbers from the preseason, especially with some of these quarterbacks, and say, well, this guy's going to be great, this guy's not going to be great. Because, again, I thought the worst preseason that Cassel had was the one right before he became the starter and led you to 11 wins. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. We've kind of worked our way through a number of the guys here on the team. And, you know, some people who I thought helped themselves, I think especially along the defensive line, guys helped themselves quite a bit tonight. And it's an interesting question. You know, Cunningham's going to be on the team, but let's say it comes down to one guy on your D-line, Justin Francis versus Trevor Scott. Let's say it comes down to that, and maybe it doesn't. But let's say that's the discussion tonight. You know, who do you feel better about out of those two guys? You know, Francis really flashed at the end of the game, but it was the end of the game. You know, Scott did most of his work in the first half against Eli Manning and the Giants' offensive starters. Scott's someone who I like the signing an awful lot at the time. Francis is a little more versatile. And, oh, by the way, the other thing to lump onto this discussion is, again, what I was talking about with Copen. When you have that center rotation going on, and it looks like, the takeaway for me, it looks like, is that Copen isn't going to be your starter. So if he's not your starter, do you want to waste a valuable roster spot for someone like Francis or someone like Trevor Scott or someone like Dennard or Marquise Cole or Sterling Moore, whoever else is on the bubble back there, right? Do you want to waste that roster spot on a guy who's only a backup center and doesn't give you versatility? I love Dan Copen. You know, he's been someone who you can count on and a mainstay in the middle of that offensive line. And look, I think Tom Brady is in Dan Copen's corner, obviously. But the Patriots have made tough cuts before. And you would think that the Patriots not cutting him last week, lumping him in with Gaffney and Stallworth, you would think that that would be a vote of confidence for Dan Copen. But maybe they legitimately needed to see him to evaluate him. Maybe they legitimately needed to see him in game action one more time. And that was going to be a make-or-break game for Copen. You know, he didn't get into the third series after Wendell. Connolly, I would think, if Brian Waters is here, is also above him. So is Copen worth carrying? That's something we can discuss as well. 508-298-0398, Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com. Coming up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, we continue with the discussion. Who helped themselves the most? Who impressed you the most tonight in the final preseason game for the Patriots? We'll also hear a little bit more on the replacement officials. That's coming up next. Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com.
Meet Sarah, mother of two teens, Todd and Laura, who are going back to school with the latest smartphones from Verizon.
With Facebook and email, I just feel more connected.
They get the Oxford Dictionary app,
so they can prep for their SATs.
And she feels good about the family budget.
Two smartphones and a tablet, all on one data plan.
Sarah chose the new Verizon Share Everything plan with unlimited talk, unlimited text, and shareable data that connects up to 10 devices. Plus, use your Verizon smartphone as a hotspot at no extra charge. And now get $100 off select Motorola 4G LTE smartphones like the Droid Razr. Now only $99.99 after $50 mail-in rebate debit card and $50 instant savings. With Verizon, life just got easier for Sarah and her whole family. Visit any Verizon store, verizonwireless.com/sale, or call 1-800-256-4646.
Requires new 2-year activation. Upgrade, early termination, and other fees may apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/bestnetwork.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com. Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Second and final hour of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Sun Life Financial can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit SunLifeKnowsBenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit, get to know Sun Life. Feedback still rolling in. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails going to webradio@patriots.com. It's where our buddy Brian writes back in. Adam, really glad to hear Demps is okay. At least that's what is being said to the press, and that's accurate. Demps said that tonight. He only answered two questions, but he said that tonight. I think he has a very bright future ahead of him in the NFL. Can't wait to see him in the regular season if he can return kicks and add to the running back committee. Things are looking very potent on the ground for the Pats this year. I'll tell you, the thing that blows me away about Demps, maybe blows me away is too much, but the thing I've been most impressed with is the fact that he didn't return punts in college. And we didn't even know if we were going to see him last week against Tampa Bay. And when I say didn't do it extensively in college. We didn't even know we were going to see him return punts last week against Tampa. He did and looked good. He did tonight and looked excellent. Jeff Demps in space is going to be a huge mismatch. Now, you have to get him there, whether it's punt returns in the blocking downfield or screen passes or whatever it is. But tonight, Jeff Demps on punt returns, 4 for 49, all of them went for at least 10 yards. That is huge when you're talking about field position. So I thought he was great. And I was a little nervous about the injury, but he's telling reporters and everyone, he says he's okay. Another one that flew under my radar, by the way, injury-wise, before we continue with the email, is Alex Silvestro apparently was being looked at after the game as well. And Kudavitis said something similar. Didn't look bad after the game. Looked like he was okay as well. So there's your injury story here. Brian continues, I also have to say, pretty sure Dennard is staying on the team or going to IR. If it comes down to it, I doubt the Pats give him away. He was such a steal in the seventh round. Look, I didn't really even have him under much consideration for the team until tonight. Looked great. Was against David Carr, but looked great. Pass breakup, force fumble, which was all technique. I think he has a legitimate chance of making this team. Now, who's the odd man out? Marquise Cole? Sterling Moore? Do you cut from another area of the club? Like, I don't know, a Trevor Scott, Justin Francis, someone along the defensive line? Do you go to the guy I've been referencing, Dan Copen? You know, who do you cut? That's the other part of this thing. But he certainly helped his cause tonight. As far as Justin Francis versus Trevor Scott, writes Brian, I'd have to go with Scott. His play stood out more tonight. I'd have to watch the game again, but I think I'd go with Scott. I'd agree. And it's because I think we've seen Scott flash at other points this preseason, not just tonight. And Francis, we've really only seen it tonight, and it was late in the game, and it was all on the same drive. It was like pressure, pressure, stack from Francis. Scott, early in the game, you know, is in that Giants backfield. And I thought he set up the second sack by Cunningham. Brian also writes in, as far as Copen is concerned, I'd keep him if A, Waters doesn't return. And that's a significant part of the equation. I think Waters is going to be back for what it's worth, but we don't know. If he doesn't return, that certainly helps Copen's cause. B, writes Brian, it isn't a choice between Copen and Dennard, Scott, Francis. I think O-line depth with Connolly and Waters if Waters returns. But given how banged up our secondary can get over time, I don't think it's worth risking. Copen's great, but I also really like how well the defenses look this preseason and feel some of those players have made a case to stay on the roster. I do think you can take away and only keep 7, 8 offensive linemen if you had to go that shallow instead of 8 or 9. I think you could do that. Probably 8 would be the number. 7 wouldn't be enough. But I think you could cut an offensive lineman and cut from that area and add to the secondary and maybe keep 6 corners, you know, or keep an extra defensive lineman. I do think you can play that game. Brian also had a very long email about the refs, and we'll get to some of his points in that email as well. But in case you didn't catch it tonight, in case you didn't hear what transpired that I'm talking about with how much of a debacle the replacement officials had tonight, Kevin Collins, why don't you hit me with the audio of this disaster tonight by the lead referee tonight, lead official tonight, Don King.
We have fouls by both teams during the kick. We have illegal shift by the kicking team. After the kick,
the other guy's telling them both on the kicking team.
And after the kick, we have a 15-yard penalty.
Gil and Gino know early. They don't figure it out for what.
5-yard penalty.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Are they both enforced? So it's after the kick.
Gil and Zoe.
So they're marking off the 5.
Now the whistles blow again.
A correction on the reporting of the foul.
Okay.
Both teams were on the... Both fouls were on the kicking team.
Now the crowd's into it. Okay. Now the crowd's into it.
I got nothing on that.
Okay.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Today, Junior!
Across the field to Tom Coughlin. And Tom's looking back at him. saying, what the heck are we getting ourselves into next week? Look at Belichick's
face. Both fouls were committed by the kicking team.
He can't believe
First
it.
Foul was an illegal shift by the kicking team. The second foul, after the kick, was a personal foul face mask. Reports the 5-yard penalty and re-kick.
It's just utter miscommunication.
The game was rolling along pretty fast there for a while, but sorry about that, folks.
Gil Santos summing it up on the Patriots Radio Network alongside Scott Zolak.
Today, Junior!
By the way, you can hear the edits in there. That was like a streamlined part of the 5, 6, 7 minutes, however long it took. That was all one stoppage in time, though. Like, that wasn't...
I didn't want to keep us here
no,
all
no, no,
night.
No, 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 no. I'm saying, like, that was only a fraction of what actually happened, what actually transpired. And I only say, like, that wasn't, Kevin, from an issue in the first quarter and the third quarter and the... That wasn't, like, separate issues all rolling into
one. That was one play.
That was one miserable stoppage. That was awful. That was awful. And it comes on the day. The day that the NFL sends out a memo to all the teams saying, hey, gonna have replacement officials week one. And people like Jason Cole of Yahoo are writing that it won't be a big deal. It's gonna be a big deal. This was embarrassing. And it might happen week one. Something like that might happen week freaking one. Brian, started his email this way, but wanted to tuck it in after we gave you that disaster from the officials tonight. Brian wrote in, as much as I want to see the NFLRA back, I have to say, I really don't want to see the NFL fold on this because I know exactly where that money's going to come from. Let's be honest, it's not going to be the owners, execs, or players. Think about it. They just came off a lockout season where the biggest issue, even beyond player safety, was money. So take a wild guess where that money comes from, the fans. Ticket prices, parking, food, beverages, etc. And let's be honest here, the refs are being just as greedy as the NFL and players. Look, I would just respectfully disagree on that. Maybe it would ultimately come out of the pockets of fans, but that's on the owners. That's on the owners because it shouldn't come out of the pockets of fans. This is a $9 billion a year industry. $9 billion. And the refs are talking about, the nugget from Peter King was $10 or $12 million over 7 years. $10 or $12 million additional dollars over 7 years. It's nothing. It's peanuts to these NFL owners, and they don't want to pay. So I respectfully disagree with Brian. You have to end this thing. And tonight was exhibit A of what disaster these guys can wreak on a regular season game. What havoc they can wreak on a regular season game. Tip the phones. Jake is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's going on, Jake?
How's it going, Adam?
Doing excellent.
Hey, we haven't talked about this tonight, so I was wanting to get your thoughts on the Gaffney and Stallworth cuts.
Okay.
I'm kind of a little bit disappointed from that, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. They seemed to me like they were some insurance vertical threats after Brandon Lloyd, and now it's kind of like you just have Lloyd and a bunch of short receivers. So I kind of wanted to get your comments. I'm just kind of shocked, especially with Gaffney getting cut. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, and I think that's the more noteworthy of the two. Jake, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Stallworth, I never had making my team. I never thought he was realistic to make. They weren't going to keep seven receivers. I didn't think that was realistic, really. And he wasn't making it over Edelman or Slater. And obviously, what I thought were the top four guys. Welker, Lloyd, Branch, who I always had on the team, by the way. And then Gaffney. Gaffney surprised me. But talking with Paul and Andy on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, it sounds like an injury thing with him. He just wasn't healthy enough to stay on the field. If he ain't healthy enough to go, they're not going to keep you around. So, as they said, maybe there's a consideration with bringing him back at some point, you know? Maybe if he's healthy by week five or whatever, the Patriots look at their roster. Maybe they need help at receiver, or maybe they just have somebody else on the chopping block on their roster or injuries elsewhere, and they can squeeze him on. So, I wouldn't rule that out with Gaffney. I just don't think Stallworth has a spot on the team, and I don't really see how he helps. So I hope that clears things up. I never had Stallworth on the team. Gaffney, I was surprised at. I was legitimately surprised he got cut, even with the injury. But look, we don't know the extent of the injury. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's continue with some of these emails here. Jonathan writes in, Adam, I'm in absolute agreement with you on Cunningham. I think going to a 4-3 defense and losing the likes of Anderson and Carter have saved Jermaine's career. At least with the Patriots. He's been great, And if he continues to play the way he has, I see him supplanting Rob Ninkovich. He was being double teamed and still wreaking havoc. Put that on the opposite side of Jones with an improving interior, and we've got some potential. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he passes over Ninkovich. It seems like Patriots fans are a little down on Ninko, by the way. Like, there was an email about him pregame. I forget whose mailbag I was reading. It might have been, you know, Andy or Paul's, or maybe Mike Reese's. But
why would you read anything Andy or Paul wrote?
I don't know. It was probably Mike Reese's.
Don't even waste
but
your time.
But I honestly don't recall who it was. Otherwise, I would credit them. I don't remember who it was. But, you know, just reading some mailbags this week, there were a few emails about Ninkovich and, you know, whether or not he's cut out to be an end. I think Rob Ninkovich is fine. I think if he's your starter, I think it's fine. I feel good about it. You know, if Cunningham legitimately beats him out, great. But I don't necessarily think that's a problem area, I guess is my point. And let's not stick Cunningham in the starting lineup after one preseason game. I thought he was a beast tonight. He had the big hit on Vic, but that play was created by Kyle Love. Tonight, I thought he did a little bit more. His first sack was, that's why you take him in the second round. Splitting two offensive linemen. That was a great individual effort by Jermaine Cunningham. Second one, I thought the play was made by Scott, and Cunningham wrapped him up. Continuing with the email here from Jonathan in Florida. This is also the first time I'd really seen Francis show up, and I think Scott has been consistently good. I think Scott has flashed. It's been at the end of games a lot. That wasn't the case tonight. This was early in the game tonight for Scott. But with him, he's shown up a lot late, which means he's down the depth chart. But I think he helped himself a lot tonight. I agree. And I've said earlier, if I had to choose between one of the two, I'm taking Scott. I also think Francis has a shot at being on the practice squad, which you can't do with Scott. The guy who really stood out to me was Rivera, writes Jonathan. The last couple games, I saw him as a liability in pass coverage, but he was a force in stopping the run tonight. I see the same thing. You know, I think he is a liability in pass coverage. And it seems like Tarpinian is more helpful on special teams than Rivera is. I mean, that's the guy he's fighting with for a roster spot, or him and Carpenter, I guess. But I think Carpenter's going to be on the team. So unless Rivera finds a way to beat out Tarpinian, and maybe he will, I don't think he's going to be on the team. You know, maybe he goes back to the practice squad, maybe. But that's sort of my read on him. And I think pass coverage is a major problem for him. Ebner continues to be in the area of the ball. I look forward to his further development. Ebner was great again tonight. And I think an underrated play by Ebner wasn't just the pass breakup, which everyone's going to take note of. And that was against Eli, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was Eli's last drive. Francis pressure, by the way. And Ebner got in there and broke up the play and nearly came up with another pick. I thought an underrated play by him was on the punt return coverage. You know, he's running downfield and draws a holding penalty or a block in the back or whatever it is. So, you know, I think he's continuously shown up, whether it's secondary or punt coverage or, you know, whatever. I think he's been very good. If healthy, I want Demps as my punt returner, writes Jonathan. I agree there. Tarpinian, like him over Nico Koudevinas. I see Jeffs as some potential I saw in Fletcher. I think Tarpinian and Koudevinas could both be on. You know, I think there's a possibility there. Katani's done enough to stick, in my opinion, which I disagree with. Ultimately, guys might be gone for sure, I thought would be gone for sure, have done some things to not make it so black and white. Bill Belichick has some tough decisions to make over the next couple of days. But let's be honest. Some of the people we're talking about, you know, I think there's a good chance that you can put them on the practice squad. Francis, Bolden, Rivera, guys like that, there's a good chance you get them on the practice squad. So if that's the case, I'd cut those guys. And if somebody wants to sign Justin Francis or somebody wants to sign Brandon Bolden, I think you can find those types of guys elsewhere. You know, and hopefully you get them back on your practice squad. Maybe not all of them, but 2, 3, 4 of them, I think that's an ideal situation. So that's sort of how I'd approach the thing, especially when I'm looking at the bottom of the roster. Is there a chance these guys can make it through to the practice squad? I think on all three of those guys, there's a chance. And I think a pretty good chance with all three of them. So that's why I'd consider moving on. Continuing with the emails. Pat writes into webradio@patriots.com. What's up, guys? Never thought I'd say this, but Jermaine Cunningham had a good game tonight, albeit against the second team offensive line. Even more shockingly, consistent Jag Sergio Brown had a solid couple of tackles. Haven't mentioned Sergio Brown yet, but he was in my notes twice. Wrapped up nicely on a tackle in the flat. Also had excellent punt coverage early on in the game. This is what my notes said, Kevin. Smothering punt coverage is what my notes said on the third drive of the game. So I agree. I don't think Sergio Brown's going to make the team, but I thought he played well in this thing tonight. Cunningham will make the team due to lack of depth at the position. Sergio Brown stands no chance in hell. What surprise players do you think might have a chance to sneak onto the team? I don't know if he's a surprise player per se, but I think Dennard is the guy who really helped himself tonight. You know, I think he's someone who stood out in a very good way. And again, as a seventh round pick, I didn't really have him on my roster prior to tonight. And I think he's making a case now. And I guess I'd have to give it more thought. I can't say that I'd put him on there tonight over Sterling Moore. I have to think about that a little bit more. And maybe over Marquise Cole. And I got to look at the numbers and the different machinations around the roster. But I would say he's under consideration for me now, and he wasn't prior to the game tonight. So maybe he's not a totally off-the-radar guy, but he's somebody I'd be looking to as a legitimate chance to make the team after tonight. Jonathan writes into WebRadio at Patriots.com. Two other things worth mentioning, and he's got another one that I didn't touch on at all. Zoltán Mesko's leg, 9 punts, net average, 45.9. 45.9. And I thought he was good. I did. I thought he was good. But, you know, as good as he was, I try to avoid the punter on the good list or bad list, unless you really have to go there. Like, I try to avoid that. And I think everybody knows and expects Zoltán Mesko to be a good player for the Patriots. But he was excellent tonight. He really was. So was Weatherford. You know, both punters were good. Just listen to Don Crickey doing the game. He'll let you know. Jonathan also wrote in penalties.
47-yard punt and no return. Two really good kicking teams here tonight.
That was...
Sorry, I needed a sec.
It was like every single punt, Crickey said something like that.
I think he needed a minute alone after a couple of those punts.
Hit me with that again. Like, this is like actual preseason.
47-yard punt and no return. Two really good kicking teams here tonight.
Hard-hitting analysis.
Me and Kevin are just sitting here. While that was going on, while that call happened, and we're both just looking at each other like, is he kidding me right now? They also went into a whole soliloquy about CBS scene, which I cracked up at. But anyway,
Patriots on defense.
I digress.
Thomas, Bruschi, and Coleman.
47-yard punt and no return. Two really good kicking teams here tonight.
Boom punt. Jonathan also writes in, only 4 penalties for 20 yards, where the Giants had 8 for 75. That's 12 penalties in 26. Excuse me. 12 penalties compared to 26 in one of our other preseason games. So at least as bad as these officials were, they were less trigger happy. Well, that's a fair point. You know, they were throwing the flag less. You know, once they threw it, they have no idea what they're doing tonight, as we put on display a few different times. But, you know, they were, I guess, in terms of not throwing the flag as much and being as trigger happy. I guess he has a point there. You got to take the small gains when it comes to the replacement officials. Kenneth writes in, after watching the last few games, I had a bitter taste in my mouth. But after watching this game, I overall feel better about the team. I also like the fact that Gaffney and Stallworth are gone. Brady can now focus on his timing with Lloyd. Interesting. Interesting. That was something I wanted to see tonight, by the way. I wanted to see Lloyd and Brady because they just haven't looked right. We've talked about it. Maybe it's a timing thing. Maybe it's a chemistry thing. And maybe we're reading too much into it. Maybe we all have our antenna up after the Ocho Cinco debacle from last year. And you could see it. If you went back, you could see it. Obviously, starting in the preseason with Ocho and Brady. There's a little bit of that there.
Yeah!
A little bit of that there with Brandon Lloyd. I don't think it's as bad. I think Lloyd will be fine. Honestly, if you're asking me if I think he's going to be good or bad, I still think Brandon Lloyd is going to be fine. He at least understands the offense. But there's a little bit of that there, and it bears watching. And honestly, we haven't seen enough from him this preseason. We haven't. Luke writes in from Florida to WebRadio, Patriots.com. Early in the game, one of the broadcasters mentioned something about the O-line and said something like, the left side of the offensive line is solid. Nate Solder's going to be a Pro Bowler soon, and the real area of concern is the right side. I'm a little confused by this, because what I've seen, it's the tackles that need help, and the middle is the stronger part of the line. Have you seen anything that would be encouraging on the offensive line lately? Also, at the beginning of the game, thought Mallett looked pretty good. Then he started throwing to Jesse Holly, who could not seem to pull down a catch. Who would you personally feel more comfortable with as a starter? How many wins do you think they could get? I think they could win 10, 11 games. Like, they've done it before with either of those two guys. You know, that's an interesting question. Who would I feel more comfortable with? I would probably, if I were Bill Belichick, try Mallett, because I just feel like there's more upside there. You know, Hoyer, to me, seems like he's a little more capped. He's safer, but I think there's more upside with Mallett. On the offensive line, the first point that Luke made. I think the tackles have been an issue, but I also think Solder has progressed throughout the course of the preseason. Cannon's been a mess on the right side. So I wouldn't totally disagree with whoever said it. Probably Randy Cross. He was an offensive lineman. Probably Randy Cross. And I don't know if Solder's going to be a Pro Bowler or not. But I think Cannon's just been a mess on the right side. And there were more issues on the right side tonight. Cannon had another false start, I believe it was. Was his penalty tonight? Yeah, false start for Cannon on the third drive after Vollmer came out. It was like right when Cannon came out, or Vollmer came out, Cannon comes in and has a false start. He's been awful on the right side. He's playing out of position. He should be a guard or a swing tackle or a backup tackle or whatever it is. But I don't disagree. I think right tackle's been more of an issue than the left. So on some level, I would agree. Right side's been more of an issue. Mike writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Subject line, cuts. Scott seems to show up in this game. Didn't hear much about him in practice, but he's been a good preseason against some decent competition. Scott sticks. I agree. Copen isn't going to stick, which I also agree with. I don't think he's ready to stay healthy, and unfortunately, price versus reward isn't there. Plus, lots of center guard options on the market that could compete at his current level. Unfortunately, there isn't anything available for decent tackles that are willing to play. On Copen, I see it the same way. If Wendell's better and Connolly's better, or at least the coaching staff thinks more highly of each of them, then I just don't see the point of Copen. You know, if he's just a backup center, have some versatility with Donald Thomas. Have some versatility with Nick McDonald, if and when he's ever healthy. But if Waters is here, and I still think he will be, and I'm not really basing that on much, if Waters is here, then Connolly's your center and Wendell's your interior backup. And then what's Copen? A third-string center? That's silly. Also, writes Mike, I think Justin Francis sticks. He's got enough size to help at D-tackle in a 4-3. If we need him there, Fortson does not, but I'm hoping Myron Pryor comes off PUP ready to play. We'll need him. It's interesting to file away Pryor's name. Fortson is one I haven't thought about a lot, or talked about a lot, rather, but he's one that wouldn't blow me away if he stuck, if they need some interior depth there. They cut Warren the other day. Maybe Fortson sticks. As for Francis, that's one of the attractive things about him, in my view, is that he can play a few different spots for you. You know, like, he can play D-tackle, he can play D-end, he can play at both spots, so there's a little bit of versatility there. A little bit, which I think obviously helps him. Joseph writes in to Web Radio at Patriots.com, guys, I really hope the O-line works out where Waters comes back and the two tackles step up and are consistent, and if that works out, I think we'll do just fine. I'm a little better with Cunningham. Hopefully, he does something in the regular season. And I think we need to get one more DB, a veteran, to establish some consistency or something to get everyone in order. I don't think that's realistic. I don't see them adding anybody back there. I actually like the youth back there. You know, I came into last season thinking they needed a veteran back there. I've kind of changed my tune on that. This year, I like the youth. And I like the fact that it seems like a unit that's building towards something and improving. Yeah, I actually like that a lot. Brandon writes in to Web Radio at Patriots.com. Adam, what I find surprising is that no one talks about how bad these refs will be when the tempo picks up. And when you have a team like the Patriots who run a no huddle, I find them being a cause of screwing up the tempo that the Patriots will be trying to go at. What's your take? It's an excellent point. Excellent point by Brandon. You know, the Patriots last preseason, if you remember, were tiring out Gerald McCoy from the Buccaneers. So they could do the same thing to the officials. You know, these are Division III officials, Division II officials, or small-time college football officials. They're not going to be able to keep up with the pace of the New England Patriots or the New Orleans Saints or the Green Bay Packers or the Lions or whomever. It's an excellent point. And not only are they not going to be able to keep up, but are they going to screw it up? Like, are they going to screw up this big advantage that these fast-paced offensive teams have? That's something I hadn't even considered. It's a great point.
Both fouls were on the kicking team.
That's the best. Like, you can just hear him be like, ah, I am screwing this up. And then the fans get on him. It was uncomfortable.
Today, Junior!
It was uncomfortable, indeed. Amar writes in to Web Radio, Patriots.com. Adam, no, we can't place too much value on the preseason finale without too much competition. But I was actually less down on Mallett than I was after the first two games. See, I thought he played well in the Eagles game. We're getting a lot of these, like, he wasn't good in the Eagles game, was good against Tampa. I thought he was good in both, but whatever. There were several drops and stuffed screen passes that would have gone for more valuable stats in terms of completions and yards. Other than a few instances of him still holding the ball for too long, which he did, he showed better pocket sense and ability to get outside than he has in the past. Just quickly on Mallett, because I've gone through this a few different times on the post-game show here. I give you the fact that if you were playing with better guys, and I think we saw this a little bit in the Eagles game, if you were playing with better guys, maybe he'd flash more. So maybe I'm being too harsh on Mallett, but he was on my bad list tonight. That's my abbreviated version. Amar writes in, as for your defensive back review, I was really high on Moore while watching the AFC Championship game, and he has tended to pop in big games. But when I went back and watched sections of that game, he looked like he was reaching and recovering well more than making a good read immediately. Doesn't necessarily mean Dennard or Cole or Dowling should pass him on the depth chart. But I think our emotional memories of that game may be influencing our interpretation of his play. It's a fair point. He's been bad in the preseason, like flat out bad, no doubt in my mind. Also, another play just popped into my head reading that email. Remember when Eli just missed Victor Cruz down the field? Like Cruz had Moore and Ebner beat. Like, had him beat. And Eli just threw it, like, 5 feet too far inside of Cruz. But he had two steps, literally, on the safety. So that's another play where Moore didn't show up in a good way, though. Part of that was on Ebner as well, who I thought played well in general. Overall, writes Amar, I think the defense played well as a unit and gives me much more hope about their ability to make stops without turnovers. I think the defensive roster will be better, top to bottom, than they have been in years, though they still need to stop a good offense in crunch time. I don't mean to over-exaggerate the improvements of the roster, but I think the development of some younger veterans, Dederick, Cunningham, Chung, etc., that we've seen in the offseason gives hope that they can provide a more complete defense. My question to you, do you think we've seen enough this offseason to determine if McCourty can at least bounce back to a league average cornerback, if not better, after last year's debacle? I don't know. It's tough to make the evaluation. I thought he looked awful at the beginning of the game against Tampa last week. You know, Vincent Jackson was catching passes left and right. But at the same time, after that, things settled down. So I don't know. I expect him to bounce back. I do. But this preseason, he hasn't shown anything that he definitively will. And look, on the defense, the ability to get the ball back without turnovers is a good point. You know, the Patriots defense, I talked about their offensive three and outs. You know what the Giants did their first six drives? Three and out, six plays, 13 yards and a punt. Three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Five three and outs out of their first six drives. You know, the defense has been doing that in general. They did it to Drew Brees. They did it to Michael Vick, you know, for shortened looks. And they did it again here tonight. The only time they didn't do it was on the opening drive against Josh Freeman and the Bucks. But in general, they've looked pretty good defensively this preseason against other teams' top quarterbacks. Amar followed up, how much stock you put in Ebner's preseason? He seemed to pop in every game and in training camp practices, but obviously he's very inexperienced from Ohio State. Do you think he'll make the roster, and do you think he'll play more than just sub-packages if he did? Ideally, I don't think so. Obviously, if injuries change it or something like that, sure. But no, I don't think he'll be more than a sub-package guy. I don't think he should be. But you can see in space, he locks guys up. And I've heard Andy and Paul talk about this. Well, he's a rugby guy, and you have to tackle in rugby. So he knows form tackling. He understands it. You know, he knows how to do it. And I don't know. I just think he's impressed me. I think he's impressed me at every turn. So more than sub-packages, no. But he's been a pleasant surprise, especially in terms of locking guys up and form tackling. That's been one of the fortes. Really appreciate the emails here tonight. Throughout the course of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, you guys loaded it up at webradio at patriots.com. We also heard from a few of you on the phones, heard from Patriots defensive end Jermaine Cunningham and Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Something we'll try to do here on each and every Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Get you a player, get you the coach, and when Tom Brady plays, get you the quarterback as well. I will not talk to you on September 9th, week one. Actually have a
He's too good to talk to us. A
previous engagement. I'm at a wedding out in Denver, so I won't be here, but there will be a Sun Life Patriots postgame show that day on September 9th when the season finally kicks off, and I'll talk to you in week two here on Patriots.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune in.
Patriots.com radio all week long. Sunday, September 9th, the Patriots open the regular season in Tennessee against the Titans. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 10:45 a.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.